adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline. Coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Def Leppard's our guest tonight. Joe Elliott, Phil Cullen. Yeah. Both here from the band. I've been wanting to meet you guys since Hysteria. Well, actually, since Hysteria. What was that, 1985?
87.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Time flies, huh?
Oh, man. I mean, you know, I used to be a construction worker, so it was we weren't listening to the public radio stations when we were swinging hammers. Lots of rock, lots of Def Leppard. But then after seeing the Behind the Music, that's when I really had to meet the band, which is this band's had some tragedy. Mm. And so you guys are still around, still doing your thing. Still
we
kicking?
Are, yeah. It's
came
fun.
Through the other side.
Yeah, it was, I'll tell you. And I always thought Def Leppard was. I think all rock bands are American bands. I was just explaining this to Drew last night on the radio. Do you run into this a lot?
A lot of people think we're an American band mm-hmm. because of the success we've had here.
You know why, don't you? Because we actually sing with American accents.
Right.
You know why, though? Because we learned from, you know, even Mick Jagger and that, they would all sing with American accents. Because they learned from American records.
Really?
So oh, yeah. That's where it comes from, is an American culture. So we pick it up and...
Interesting.
Yeah, recycle it.
We always thought that just because you were singing, the accent goes away or something, you know?
I think if you yell loud enough, the Brit accent will blow out. Yeah. It's like...
Some people will affect a British accent, like Oasis, say Ray Davis.
Make it worse.
But then, if you take... two great examples of how to get it right and how to get it wrong. The Little Richard's version of Tutti Frutti.
And then Pat Boone.
And then there's Pat Boone's version. That's how not to do it. That would be the British accent, and that's why we don't sing like that.
Well, you had me and everyone else on my construction crew fooled, although it wasn't... It was fairly easy to fool those guys. They weren't great.
We fooled
thinkers.
A lot of the English people.
You did?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Were you bigger in the United States than in England?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we broke the States first. We broke the States really big in 83, and then Britain kind of followed through about 87 with the Hysteria album.
And now, what part of England are you guys from? Is everyone from the same place?
Uh-uh. No, I'm from London. The band's from Sheffield originally. Everyone else, Joe's from Sheffield.
And the new boy who's been in the band 10 and a half years now, he's from Belfast, so he's Northern Ireland.
Jesus.
Which is still Great Britain.
So you guys, now, you guys were been together for, what, 20 years now?
22.
Yeah.
Jesus.
22 since the first album came out.
You look all right.
Thank you. Feeling good. Pretty good. Well, a bit tired today, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you guys, well, you must have been in your late teens, early 20s when you formed?
Yeah. Yeah, I was 18 when I joined the band.
Jesus Christ.
Well, basically, me and Rick Savage formed the band September 77, so it's actually 25 years since I met Rick Savage, the bass player.
And it was, looking back on the success, was it too much too soon?
It would have been, I think, but we had such big time periods between our albums and so many weird things happened that that kind of slowed us down. I think we'd have just... been at that rate, you know. I mean, that Pyromania tour, we started off in a club and ended up in a stadium within a year, and it was pretty weird.
Right, because you started the tour before the record was released, and the record went crazy?
Yeah, it went silly. It was great, and, you know, MTV broke us or helped break us. It was pretty insane.
But, you know, all said and done, it was 7 years after we first started as trading under the name of Def Leppard, as it were, by the time Pyromania took off, so...
Right.
You know, 7 years overnight success, you know.
Yeah, I don't mean overnight, but still, I mean, I was just saying to somebody, if my parents had kicked off when I was 19 and left me a whole wad of money, and this goes for me or any of my friends, everyone would just be dead. I mean, I mean, just the money, just having that kind of money in your early 20s seems like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, well, one of us did die. That's the thing.
Right.
You know, when Steve ended up dying for, you know, alcohol related, and Rick had this horrible accident, but you know, that was just, that's just one of them things. But
true, you know, yeah. You know, Rick, he drums with one arm.
Huh.
it's one of the more amazing things in rock, really. Mm. I mean, besides that chick who has no arms and no legs and plays a piano with her tongue on Howard Stern. This is a second and a close.
You are close, kidding, right?
I know. I'm not really? Kidding. I'm not kidding. I mean, this is a close second, Rick. But how, you know, it's one thing to be born with one arm
and pull it off
and decide that you're going to drum and nobody can stop you, so you get a special drum kit made. It's another thing to drum for 20 years, then lose your arm, then decide you're still going to drum. I mean, that is
wild,
that's
yeah.
Well, that's what's known as willpower. That's what that is.
That is
massive amounts of
that is amazing. Yeah. And I mean, and how can you hear the difference between what it was and what it is?
Well, he plays a lot more basic now than he used to, which is great. You know, it's not that all this stuff all the time. So no, it's great. He locks in. It's fantastic. And it's been, God, how many years now? It was 84 since when the accident
18
was.
Years ago.
Yeah.
Really?
It's
been eight?
So it's half his life.
We stand with our back to him. Obviously, you know, the drums, he's the backbone. He's behind us. So you don't see him a lot of the time until you turn around and waggle your ass or get a drink off the drum riser or whatever. But he's behind us. So all we do is hear him. Jeez. And he sounds like a drummer.
Yeah.
And that's how he's confident
sounds
we
great.
Can play him.
It's
one arm.
Really cool.
And, you know, he had his drum kit modified, so he does, like, the bass and the, I don't know what he does with the other foot. He's using both feet. He essentially got rid of one arm, but he's using the extra foot that's just sitting there.
Wow.
Darren from Goldfinger's got two arms he can't drum. This is amazing.
Not a breeze.
Amazing. All right. Yeah, I'll tell you. Yeah, I know it's I think for some people it kind of goes down as a little bit of a novelty, but it's really... It really transcends that. People need to stop. There's two things, really, that need to be taken a look at in life.
Uh-oh.
That aren't made enough of. One is, it's Rick from Def Leppard, one arm and drumming. And number two, it's Liberace getting his young male boyfriend plastic surgery to look like him so he could F him in the ass. That's something society needs to stop and think about a little bit more, too. We seem to gloss right over that one.
I didn't know about that one.
You guys don't know that one either.
God, there's all this stuff we're finding out tonight. This is cool.
Liberace had, like, when Liberace was, like, 55, you know, maybe a couple of years before his death, he really had, like, a 19-year-old boyfriend, and he started...
Surgically made to look like him.
Getting the guy surgically altered so he looked like a young Liberace so he could then... Essentially, nail himself.
Why didn't he just jerk off in the mirror?
That's what I do. That's what I was saying.
It seems the obvious
thing.
That's
what you're saying, or that's what you do?
Well, that's what I do, but I don't know if I'm saying it now. I do the same thing. I light the candelabra and I go at it right in the mirror. Big flowing cape on.
Piano in the background.
That's right.
Furs everywhere.
That's right. Fur
Batman
flies.
And Robin mask.
Wishing
well away.
Speaking of fur.
Wishing my brother George was here.
Speaking of fur, I got to tell you something.
Yes.
A freaking bobcat came into our yard last night, almost ate one of our cats.
Really?
A huge wildcat.
Yeah. Well, where are you at? Where'd you live?
In Pasadena.
Jeez. Well, they come to, yeah, I guess.
He's up in the
stuff.
Yeah. He's up in the hills, yeah.
But not.
Huh?
Apparently the drought's driving all the wildlife down looking for water. And
yeah.
Thing was...
Mm. Big? Did you see it?
Yeah.
You didn't see it.
Yeah, I was out in my backyard with a kitchen knife and a stick, a bat, trying to chase away from our cat.
The bat was to get your wife away from you, but the kitchen knife, that was for the wildcat?
I was thinking, what the hell am I doing out here? Like,
yeah, bat, a kitchen knife. Meanwhile, if the thing lunged at you, just drop both of them
and
run.
Oh, it's not running, of course.
This was last night.
Yeah.
So you were naked, too.
No, I had a robe on. Ah. Managed to put that
and on. A fur on.
Fur, yes.
Yeah. It's hard to handle a 9-pound cat when it's going.
No, this thing is, this looks like, it's like a...
That's what I'm talking
like
about.
Like a large working class dog.
Really?
Yeah, it's a big animal.
But I'm saying, that's a nightmare. I mean, what I'm saying
it's
is...
You're dragging your cat away.
You take a little cat and try to get it into the carrying thing to take it to the vet, it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine a 90-pound cat.
No, I mean, it's bad enough with the coyotes. You know, one of the coyotes had my cat as well, yeah.
I know everybody. Let's see. If you live in the hills in Southern California, you got to go out and collect your pets before it gets dark, because then they become food.
Well, now I'm worried about my kids with a wild cat.
They got to grow up sometime. I just wrap them in
the cats.
The cats. Yeah, they got to eat. No, I just rewrap the kids in foil and put like a hockey helmet on them. They'll be fine. Chris.
Yep.
You know what you do? You put musk from a Kodiak bear on them before you let them leave the house, and it keeps the cats
Game
away.
On.
It scares them, yeah. Chris, I made that up, but it's good.
Oh, yeah.
You're 21. It also keeps pedophiles away. Go ahead, Chris.
All right. I'm 21. My girlfriend and I have been dating for, like, 6 months. I've been sexually active for, like, 4 or 5 months.
With her?
Well, she has problems with her breast size. She has a normal size, well, a little above normal, about 34C.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't like the way they look when she stands up and just, like, no bra or no shirt.
Oh, Adam.
Wow, that was weird.
I lost him in the key moment.
But it was a weird way to drop.
Cell phones.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah.
Because it was weird. It sounded like he went, no bra, no shirt. Like, I pictured him falling into a hole, like a wormhole in
time
space. Yeah. Didn't sound like he hung up or got disconnected. It sounded like he felt like I was picturing the E equals MC square thing floating around him and a grandfather clock.
It was,
He's spinning into space.
He's going to come back on yesterday. That's the whole trick.
34C, though. But how tall was she? We didn't even get there.
34C is when women go to have plastic surgery, that's the size most of them aim at.
Is it really?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so most women consider that ideal. I don't know what is up with her, that she has a body image problem. Maybe this is a little subtle eating disorder, but nothing you can do to make her feel better about herself other than supporting her and being a good boyfriend.
But supposing that wasn't the question.
I think it was. What
I
to do about
I like
that.
To aim at the 34Cs, too, Drew. That's my emotion.
That's your bottom, isn't it?
Yeah, just aim. Just I look at that as the target. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Samantha, you're 19.
What's up?
On with Def Leppard. What's up?
Hey, Def Leppard. I'm having problems coming, climaxing, kind of, and eating and sleeping.
And eating and sleeping, all those
at the same time.
All the fun stuff.
Are you depressed?
I don't know. I don't, like, feel like I'm depressed. Like, life is fine. I'm working and...
You want any medication?
No.
Nothing. Anything change in your life?
I made a move, but I moved back to where I was, so...
Can you be a little more specific? You can't. You mean you moved jobs or you moved...
No. Moved cities.
And it's a better situation now.
Well, it's a better situation because I'm living on my own now.
Mm.
Before, I was living with three...
People. Were they...
And a bobcat.
People.
Were they parsexual partners or something?
No. Oh, wow. No.
Oh.
No, they're just friends. They're just girlfriends. It's just that they just didn't respect me. That's all.
All right. So you're not sleeping, not eating, and not sexually...
Well, I am. I'm not enjoying sleeping or not enjoying eating as much. Like, food doesn't look good to me anymore, and it doesn't smell good to me anymore. And, like,
you got to move to England.
Huh?
Hmm.
I mean, I've never been there, but that's what I hear. Everyone complains when they go.
About the food. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The weather. Jeez. No, things are good, really, without you even knowing it.
Food is bad in Scotland.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, is that where haggis is from?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty disgusting, huh?
Yeah, you're scraping the bottom of the sort of creative food barrel when you're going with the haggis.
But actually, scraping the inside of a sheep's intestine.
Right.
Listen, they don't apologize about haggis.
They're proud of it.
With great ceremony, a flourish, they bring out the
guys. This is like the Mexicans with the tripe, with the...
stomach.
Yeah, but what is it?
Menudo.
Oh, they're so... Everyone's got their own... All weird cultures have their own stomach stew that they're proud of.
I thought that was the name of a band.
It is. It's stomach soup.
That's what they were called.
Jeez, really? That's
cool.
Made from a...
Great.
From a cow's stomach.
Band called
you know, sausages stomach are soup. Like that, though. Sausages are all eyeballs and assholes and stuff. It's like, you know, and
yeah,
everyone just...
I know.
I don't. I'm a vegetarian.
No, you're right,
just,
but we don't admit it.
Right.
They're proud of it over there in Scotland, and they're proud of it over there in Mexico.
I just got to say, it's rare that we get a brand from Great Britain that's able to roll with this show as well as these
that's
guys.
That's right.
They're just going whichever direction we take them, they're going with us. This is good, guys. It's good.
I don't see how this food thing is going to help a climax
I know,
any quicker.
Well, it may make her eat better. Then if you eat better, then perhaps you'll have better sex.
Unless the sausages were cooked very hard.
Samantha, your periods are normal?
Yeah.
Any other medical problems, physical symptoms?
Nope.
And do you have a history of depression, or do you have any history of any other medical problems or conditions?
No. I smoke weed, but...
How often, how much?
Every day.
All right. How long have you been doing that?
About a year or so.
Well, one of the things that happens when you smoke pot, when you get addicted to pot, which is what you're into, Samantha.
Yeah.
You do it every day because you love it, right?
What'd you say?
All right, stop talking to her. All right. She's getting me depressed.
All right, here's what happens.
Just tell her what to do.
This happens in all cases.
Everything's like pulling teeth with her.
Inevitably, with pot, it stops working. That drug that you love so much, that created that great euphoria, starts to not work for you. And not only does it not work, but eventually you start getting depressed. And as you get depressed, you get all these funny physical symptoms, and your libido goes down, and your appetite can change, other things, sleep disturbances. And for some people, that doesn't happen for like 30 years. It's unbelievable how different pot affects different people. But for many, it can happen after 1 or 2 years, and you may be sliding into that path. And what most people do right then is, of course, smoke more pot, because that's what you've been relying on all this time, and that tends to just accelerate the slide. So you may want to go to MA and look into this.
All right.
Yeah.
You guys smoke the weed?
No.
No.
And no, I don't even drink. And in England, this is very funny, they just brought
Just legalize
pot.
It.
Brought it down to a grade C drug, which is kind of a bit weird, because they're saying everyone's saying it's okay and that, but it's obviously not if it's having effects like that girl's just having.
It's
decriminalized
here. But it's about the same as what it is here over there now. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's an interesting debate, but I guess, you know.
Well,
it's another day.
We can talk about it for a couple of beats. I mean, it's way more powerful than it ever was. So, I mean, it's sort of... It's climbing the ladder in terms of how jacked up you get off it.
It's more powerful. So the pharmacology is different.
Yeah, which you should take into account.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not the leaves and stems my mom used to sit around in a rattan chair and smoke in the backyard, barely catching a buzz.
In a way, it's equivalent to the Yucatan, you know, or some Colombian farmer taking a coca leaf and chewing on it, as opposed to, you know, some inner city kids smoking crack.
Right.
I mean, there's different biology there between those two. Both addictive, but different biologies.
Yeah, I mean, this stuff is covered with, like, purple crystals and hairs and stuff. I mean, when you look at it, it looks like, you know what insects look like under a microscope? That's what buds look like now. Just crazy. And I was saying to Drew, I can't even transport weed anymore. It smells up the car. Some guy gave me a bud, told me to put it in my pocket and take it home. I was driving halfway home, and it's like I'm dealing. I got to roll the windows down. If you get pulled over, I'm not smoking it. It's in the car. You get pulled over, you're getting popped. I mean, I'm probably leaving a trail of weed.
Like the Cheech and Chong film when the gun bursts.
Yeah, you don't even have to light it anymore. I mean, it's like it's sticky. It moves.
Well,
it moves
back to the sausages again. You know, on the tripe. We're back there again.
We're training. Yeah. There's a new breed that we're actually training to jump into the bong, Drew. Do you know that?
We've crossbred
it with jumping beans,
caterpillars.
It
slide this way up,
crawling into the bong. Yeah, so it's
self-loading bong.
Self-loading weed. Yeah.
Cool, man.
It's powerful, Brian.
Yeah.
You're 23.
Yeah. I want to ask Def Leppard if Mutt Lang helped produce any of the new songs on the new album, because I've heard some of the clips and they totally rock.
Thank you. Actually, he wasn't involved on this one because he's been really busy doing, you know, Shania Twain stuff and a bunch of other stuff. Just had a kid and whatever. So, no, not on this record. This was just us with Marty Fredriksson, Andreas Carlson and Per Alderheim and Pete Woodruff. So we had three different producers.
Is the album sound anything like Euphoria, or is it kind of a mixture of all your different albums?
Kind of a blend, isn't it? It sounds contemporary, but it rocks.
Okay.
But it still sounds like us.
And I have one more question. Are you guys coming out to Northern California at all, the tour?
Well, depending on the album, really. If the album takes off, we'll go everywhere.
Okay.
We go wherever we're wanted. Simple as that.
Great.
All right, thanks, guys.
Okay.
All right, let's help.
He didn't have a limp or anything he needed any help with?
No.
Just ingrowing toenail, maybe, we can help you with?
No. Most people call the show are lame. I mean, bad leg, but not Brian. But, you know, I think we should help the album take off.
All right.
That's what I'm saying. So this is Def Leppard. It's called 10, name of the CD, and the single is called Now. Def Leppard, everyone, back. 10 is the name of the CD. Joe and Phil both here tonight. And Dr. Drew, of course, rare studio appearance for him.
Please.
Okay.
Sarcasm, isn't it wonderful?
Travels a little bit. All right. We're going to take a little break when we come back. We got Josh, whose girlfriend returned from the sedan with a disease and gave it to him. Now he has blood in his stool, everybody.
Right on.
So we got that to look forward to. Got a few questions for the band. Diana says, Drew's pointing at, had an orgasm when she heard the new song clips on VH1. Com. So,
so it worked.
Well, cool. See if we can't squeeze another one out of her. And Def Leppard in studio tonight. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Bill and Joe are both here from Def Leppard. New CD, 10, is out, right?
No, 30th.
Oh, 30th. Check that. Yeah, I'll write that down. It's coming out the 30th, so we're giving you some advance notice. We'll hear something else off the CD before the night is through. Is that true, or do we just have the single tonight? No, we will.
Yeah. Okay. No, no.
All right. We'll
we can dig you something out.
We'll hear something.
Or we're doing an a cappella version of something else.
Here's something in the 11 o'clock hour. So when we left off, phone number 1-800-LOVE-191, we were talking to Josh. Josh?
Hello?
Hi there.
21.
Go ahead. Go right ahead, Josh.
Hi. I had a question about an illness I may have picked up from my girlfriend.
Yeah.
She took a trip with her church to set up a missionary in Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she came back kind of early because she got something down there from, I don't know, there's a bunch of kids that come in there, and I guess one of them threw up on the floor down there, and she had to clean it up. And I don't know, that might be it, but...
Josh?
Josh, you're not giving us much information. What is going on with you?
Are you a virgin, Josh?
No.
Really?
Mm-mm.
You sound like a virgin.
Better
to me.
Get the definition out for him.
Well, what I was wondering is what I could have, because...
You're probably pretty sick, that's why.
Are you sick, Josh?
Yeah.
What do you have?
I have no idea. She just came back Saturday night.
What do you have? What are you experiencing? What are your symptoms?
Well, I got... blood in my stool and my urine.
And your urine?
Yeah.
You need to go to the hospital right now.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Why?
Right now.
Which one's worse, the stool
or
the urine?
I mean, they are completely different things. So that means there may be something wrong with his clotting system. He's just bleeding from everywhere right now.
Oh.
And,
Josh?
You know, like an Ebola virus type thing.
You're not one of those Christian scientists, are you?
No.
All right, well, then you got to go to the hospital.
You have any fevers?
No, not that I noticed.
Just blood in the stool and blood in the urine simultaneously.
Yeah. Those are John Cougar songs, aren't they?
Any
blood
diarrhea?
In the stool? I think so.
Sort of.
This sort is a late 80s album.
Listen, Josh, you just
right
need
before
to...
before he went to Mellencamp, these are blood in the stool.
These are serious symptoms. These aren't to be messed around with. This is go to the emergency room tonight kind of thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, afraid so. Now, if it's just blood in the stool and diarrhea, you should come back from the Sudan, it can be Shigella and some salmonella or amoeba or even hepatitis. But to be bleeding from a couple of sites, are you bleeding from your gums or anything of that sort?
No, but my eyes are really red and...
Yeah. Oh, man, I'd be there. I'd be there in like a
I missed the whole bit. Is this something he's caught because he had sex with his girlfriend?
No, he has no idea. But he's
been in the same room as her.
He's trying to somehow pass it off as something contracted from the Sudan, which is certainly possible because he's so sick and he doesn't know what's going on.
Seems to have...
Man, I just go to the hospital now.
Any rash at all, Josh?
Well, my skin's kind of turned a little yellowish, and...
Yeah, maybe this is all hepatitis.
So did you sleep with her? When's the last time you slept with her, then?
I bet you... Your urine is brown, right?
Josh?
Well, yeah, kind of.
It's brown. It's not. You're bleeding in the urine. It's at a turn rate. This is hepatitis, I bet you.
Wow.
And you need to get checked out right now.
All right.
Probably, probably hepatitis A, and it's something pretty easy to take care of. But boy.
It apparently attacked his personality as well.
Sick, poor guy.
Didn't seem to have much of that left. He's got to go. He's got to go to the hospital.
Man, you're a cruel host.
Think about hepatitis.
I'm just calling it
hepatitis A is.
I'll say some diseases will attack the personality.
Hepatitis A makes
charisma bypass.
Extremely weak.
All right, got to go to the hospital, right?
Yep.
Hey, you gotta. Don't you gotta take a good hard look at the. Your maker and your religion when you go off to sort of spread the good news and do the Lord's work, you clean up some kid's vomit, you come back with a hepatitis, you get sent home early. I mean, what kind of plan is that? Do you know what I'm saying?
That's Beelzebub getting involved.
Oh, that's the devil.
Yeah.
Interesting. Never thought about that.
See how that works?
Yep. You gotta fight off the devil.
That's right.
That's right. All right. Listen. Stop spreading the good news everywhere. And you end up going over there. Here's what happens with all these pain-in-the-ass missionaries. They go somewhere. Then they get kidnapped. Then we got to go get them. This is what happens.
You have to send in John Rambo.
That's right.
And then we get hepatitis.
We go to, and you know the sad part is, I don't know if you sit home, you watch the news programs like I do on Friday night, at least 2020s and 48 hours. Everyone who goes to like South America or Central America ends up, all the missionaries get kidnapped, and then they get held in the jungles by these guerrilla fighters who are trying to get money. And the problem is the countries that should be getting them back, which is the country that they're in, their army is sort of comical looking. Have you ever seen other countries' armies, especially South Americans, if they're wearing like kids' tennis shoes and baseball hats? They can't march in line. there's always some generals about 5'2" who's making some grandiose proclamation about getting them back, but he never gets them back.
It really is. It's a scene out of Bananas.
Yeah, we have to send. You know what these other countries are? This is like when your kids say they're going to cook you breakfast for Father's Day, and then they go in the kitchen and they just destroy the place, and eventually you got to go in there, mop it up, cook your own breakfast, and then go back and eat it. That's what this is.
Would you appreciate their effort?
Yeah, sort of. Sort of, except for these are adults. We're supposed to have a military.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah, they just destroy everything. You know you're coming. Like, when the U.S. has to be laughing when the guy from Honduras says, "Don't worry, we got it covered. We're going to go in there with a chopper. We're going to take on the guerrillas. We'll extract the missionaries, and we'll bring them all to safety and bring these guys to justice. Just give us a couple days. You got to just start counting. All right, everyone, start packing. We got to head over to Honduras and finish this up." Diana?
Yeah?
What were we talking about?
Diana's a new caller.
You're 27.
Yes, I am. Hi, Joe. Hi, Phil.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good.
Pretty good. How are you?
Shell-shocked.
Oh, she had the orgasm, by the way.
Oh, Diana, yeah. Good. I had an orgasm for the years when I heard the samples over at VH1.com. That was awesome.
That's great.
That was awesome.
Multi-orgasms?
Oh, yeah.
Right on.
Oh, yeah. That was so cool.
Get back to the first girl that called in. Let her hear the
other. Yeah, absolutely.
So, Diana.
Yeah.
How long have you been a Def Leppard fan?
Oh, almost half of my life, I think.
Right. Which is just like 13 and a half years?
About, yeah.
So okay,
I got the tattoo, and I've got the license plate on my car to prove my loyalty.
Wow,
cool, very cool.
Now, when you go to the concert, do you bring the license plate with you?
No, in fact, I just got it just recently.
And what does it say?
It's got DF and LPRD8, because I wanted to put 88 because I've been a fan since 88.
Did you move?
Where's the tattoo, if you don't mind me asking?
I've got the tattoo on my right arm, right on my shoulder.
Okay.
And that was my second tattoo. My next one, I think, is going to be Our Lady on my right shoulder blade.
And Drew, what were you asking? What was the question?
Did you move to Sacramento, or have you always lived in Sacramento?
I've been here off and on since I was a kid, but then I joined the Navy, and then I went over to Hawaii, and then I actually came over to San Diego to see the Slang Show, and then I just wound up moving up here because I have family up here.
All right.
Even my I remember the Slang Show. I have really bad memories of the Slang Show.
That was an awesome show. I've got to say, that was the most awesome show on the planet.
Wow, this is the worst vocal performance I've ever done in my life. In
really?
Really?
Why?
I was so ill, and I exercise my voice every day for when I'm on tour, at least 30 to 60 minutes, and I was doing it for like 5 hours that day, and I couldn't get a thing out of my voice, and I was so bored. And the internet thing was just taking off, and there was a lot of gossip stuff on the internet, and I was really anti-internet at the time. And I decided to paint my fingernails black because I was so bored for exercising my voice. I went on stage with black fingernails just to see if anybody noticed, and went on the internet to say, "He had black fingernails."
And how do you,
I remember, it's strange how you remember certain things, huh?
How do you exercise your voice?
You go up and down the scales. Different vowels. Yeah, your me-me's, moo-moos, and ah-ahs, and eh-eh, you know, vowel sounds normally. With different tapes for different folks, you know.
And if someone's, like, in a room next to you in the hotel, do they just think you're with a fat stripper? Or, like, what are they?
Shut up! That's what I get.
Well, my son used to, when he's 12 now, but he used to hear this thing, and one day the tape started, Joe, and he said, "Dad, I hate this song." And it's Joe going, "Ooh," you know, all the way up.
But we all do it, though.
We all do it, yeah.
Steven Tyler down to Tom Waits.
Everyone in the band does it.
You know, and it works.
It does.
It strengthens it.
That's why people
get sort of the phlegm.
Yeah, that's why people think that we mime.
Right, because it sounds good.
Even Vivian Campbell, our other guitar player, thought that we had all our vocals on tape when he was in Whitesnake and they came to see us in Detroit.
Because of that. How long have you been doing the exercises?
10 years or so.
Yeah. Hey, Diane.
We had a 241 date tour, so I had to do something to keep it in shape.
Oh, Diana?
Yeah?
All right, that's enough out of you, right?
No. I wanted to ask Joe and Phil one quick question.
Yeah.
I haven't met you guys in person yet. When is the best time to meet you, either before or after the show?
Depends how good the gig is.
Okay.
Before's always good because, you know, sometimes we take off straight afterwards and stuff and we never know what's happening. We don't want to leave people waiting around for hours. But so I'd say before, usually.
Oh, cool.
We're very accessible. We don't have security and stuff like that. So, we're very approachable.
You bring the license plate and they'll know who you are.
Oh,
there you go.
Awesome.
Yeah, there you go.
Absolutely. And Stacey Anderson wanted me to tell you guys hello. She's up here in Sacramento at KXOA.
All right, Diane.
Okay, take care and God bless you guys.
God bless
Thank you.
Yeah. People must see. She's one of those people that drive me nuts because I'm driving behind him and I'm going, Def Leppard. Def Leppard.
I do that all the time.
Deflepperate is some kind of sexual problem.
Then that's what I do too. I start then making it fit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So this
we all like to do that now
right.
again.
Yeah, I really think if you're going to have a vanity plate that's somewhat confusing, you should have it defined on the bumper. I mean, you should have a sticker that says...
A phonetic sticker.
Def Leppard fan, the 8 symbolizes 1988, and a small explanation. I wanted to get 88, they wouldn't give me 8, someone else had 88, I was a big fan of theirs, and that's when I got started in 88.
You need a hell of a big bumper for that.
So just the answer,
basically.
You have the answer.
Little answer.
I'd just stick with my other cars, a Porsche. That'll do.
I really would appreciate the answer, and if I worked for the DMV, I would make that rule that unless it's something super basic...
It seems a little unsafe to have people staring at license plates.
Yeah, sorry. I will give you...
Yeah, I do as well.
Like if you're an Elvis fan and you want to spell Elvis with 2 S's, that's fine. Mm. No explanation there. But if it's something that has to do with something inside, I want to know about it. Or if it means nothing. Sometimes it means nothing.
Elvis with 2 S's could be cryptic. But, you could even be reading that and go, Elvis, hang on, what does that mean? It's Elvis what? Elvis...
No, I would assume that the regular Elvis is the straight spelling Elvis was taken, and I'll never see that guy get the double S Elvis. All right, let's take a little break. Def Leppard is our band tonight in the studio. Drew?
Just this unbelievable day.
What's the matter? Somebody dying?
Another emergency. Here,
hospital?
So I'll go deal with that.
All right, go deal with the hospital, Drew.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. This is Dr. Drew.
Can I say Loveline in my radio voice?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I have some reverb?
Loveline.
Good.
That's good radio. I like to.
I give good radio.
It's been good radio. I'm doing a television show towards the end of the week, Berman and Berwin on Discovery Health. If anyone wants to be in the audience of that show, I'll give the number again later. It's 818-755-4800.
Can we
come? You guys can come. And one of the shows that we're going to talk about is male sexual dysfunction, male performance. We want to get a couple calls about that. And actually, the band offered some to share some stories of their own, according to the interaction that was having.
Yeah, but when the... lights on that we get all shy.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Well, I could get into big trouble.
Sexual dysfunction.
Yeah.
Oh, they only happen when the alcohol comes out.
Yeah, that's part of that's one of the ways it can happen.
Brewer's droop, as we call it in England.
All right.
Brewer's droop?
Yeah. It's just not happening. I think your expectations are a bit too high, and then it's, oh my God, and it freaks out.
Everything in the Queen's English is poetic.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
We met the Queen last week.
Yes.
No.
In England. Yeah, we did.
She's very tiny.
She's really? That was very cool.
She was great. She came, we were joking about what she'd say to us. I said, I bet she asked us who we are. And she went, and you are?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Great. Talk about Queen's English.
Well,
I mean,
didn't she know? Didn't she?
Yeah, I think she was just playing with us.
I mean, this woman probably meets like 4 billion people a year.
Yeah,
and she's permanently doing what we're doing now, like the promo thing. She's just on it all the time.
PR machine.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
That's
then
gotta
again,
be
she
rough.
Met Ozzy too. I mean, come on, you know. Ozzy played Paranoid in her back garden. Now, that's wicked.
That's gotta be rough if you're the Queen or the Pope. You just have to, your life is like one big meet and greet. Eight hours a day, every day, how are you?
It's bless gotta be
you,
worse if you're the Pope, though.
Yeah,
because for the last 10 years, he's been just tidying up the Catholic problem with all the priests.
Right.
You know, because they like little boys a bit too much.
But it's just one big never-ending line. It's like you guys after a gig, signing some CDs or something, and the line never ends.
Right.
It just never ends. Just people, and you know, they're bringing their goat. They want you to bless it. You know,
to blow it.
It's a never-ending line of people who want stuff from you.
Oh, Adam, what a nightmare that would be for you.
Oh. I would have a bullhorn, and I'd be like, you guys are all officially met and greeted. Get the F out of here. You guys, I put a blessing or pox on all of you, either one.
But at least when the queen gets people, it's just common knowledge that you're just polite. Nobody's rude to the queen.
Yes.
We get people coming going, hey, man, you signed this to my sister. She really loves you, but I think you suck.
Yeah. Well, they'll wake you up at 7 o'clock in the morning at a hotel and go, hey, man, my daughter loves you, Ben. Can we come to your room? As though we're all in the same room.
Doesn't usually break out with, I don't know who you are, but my boyfriend thinks you're great. So, well, yeah. I told him I had
Or the obligatory 4:30 a.m. knock on the door. You open the door, you got, you know, Chinese eyes on, and someone's like, hey, man, you partying in there? Do I look like I am?
Trying to sleep.
I'll tell you, one of the greatest moves I ever did in my life was we were out doing a gig somewhere, West Virginia.
I thought we were. You were talking about the time
almost heaven
to beat it.
Oh, that was a good move, too.
Which one are you talking about?
I had a girl come up to me in a stereo store that me and Drew were in once 6 months ago and say, are you as big an asshole as you are on TV in real life? And I just looked there and I went, beat it! And she ran. That's the only thing I said.
Screaming. You are an asshole.
It was great. It was a cool move. The other good move I did is when we were in West Virginia.
That
we
crazy
went out,
woman backstage?
We did a gig. And we ate and had a drink, and we got back to the room at like 1 o'clock, and there's a long, rambling message. Hey, Adam, I you're at the hotel. I want to party with you. I go to West Virginia, blah, blah, blah. Here's my phone number. And we had to catch a flight at like 6:30 in the morning. I got up at 6, and I called her. And she's like, and I'm like, hey, Kathy, this is Adam. I want to party, baby. And she's like, huh? Who is this? And I'm like, you called. You left a message. Now I'm ready to party.
Role reversal.
And
fantastic.
She's like, I got class. Screw class, baby. We're swinging. And she was like, I don't, my roommate took the car. And I was like, oh, come on, listen, baby. You want to party or don't you party? And she was asleep, disoriented, and completely screwed up by the
night. I realized that you did that.
You didn't? I told you that.
We'll be doing that one. That's
it's
a good one.
Yeah, that is good.
You just got it back for every rock star that's ever been woken up. That's genius.
Yes, I do. I do love that move, which is, Liz, can you sign this for someone who likes you? I don't like you, but someone else apparently does. And yeah, that's great. Oh, yeah. Oh, just one more picture. All right, where are we, Drew? What are we doing?
Oh, where's my tag?
Your paper fell off. Now we don't know who to talk to. Ashley?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Gina?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I like older guys. And, like, I want to say, like, in their 40s, like 41, 47.
How old are you?
I'm 20.
I'm 44. My wife's 17. Oh, no, she's not. She's in her 20s. No. Is that old?
No, well, it's not to me. I guess, I don't know. And plus, I have a hepatitis C.
Are you an IV drug user?
I used to be. I'm not anymore. I have like 135 days clean.
135 days clean. And you're in the program. You're not a methadone or something.
Right. No.
You're in the program. Okay.
Well, a good thing is you're 20, but you sound like you're in your 40s, so... That's a nice in for the older guys.
To be by 20, to have been an IV drug user, to have hepatitis C, that usually goes along with a traumatic past in your childhood, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so being into older men, we'd predict that maybe dad traumatized you or abandoned you, something like that.
Yeah, he did.
All right. So that's where that comes from. And that's an acting out then, Gina, right? Those kinds of impulses will settle down in your sobriety. First of all, in your first year, you're not supposed to be carrying on anyway.
No, I know.
You're an IV drug user. You've already got a life-threatening illness with the hepatitis C. You've got to maintain 6 months of sobriety before anyone's going to put you on the interferon and get rid of that hepatitis C.
You do?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they're not going to waste it on someone who's going to just relapse and get the, you know, not complete the treatment or a
relapse. Why can't? What are you doing? What were you doing, heroin or speed?
No, I was on speed.
You know, it's so funny.
Yeah, she's not a heroin addict.
Speed. Like, I never say heroin or speed.
Yeah.
Well, what is it? Why do speed? And I don't even know that I talked to anyone who shoots speed. Everyone who shoots a drug on this show, I just assume is heroin. But she's got that speed voice.
Yeah. I agree with you.
What is that?
It's more that she doesn't have the heroin thing going on.
Excuse my naivety here, but I thought you snorted speed.
You can slam it. You can slam it.
Slamming is needles.
Needles.
We're a little naive of the English. We don't know all these.
Yes, you get lots of problems, too. Memory problems and mood disturbances from shooting speed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's where we're at, and that's what I'm hearing, Gina.
All right, so they won't give you the interferon to stop the hepatitis C because...
Because you won't complete the treatment, and or you're going to use needles again and get the hepatitis C again, and it's an expensive time to see them.
How long is it? How long is the...
6 months.
Really?
6 months treatment. And, Gina, look, your life depends upon staying sober. Do not worry about this thing with the men. Focus on your sobriety for a year. A lot of this impulse to be with older men will settle down as you start dealing in your fourth and fifth steps with that trauma history.
Yeah. I'll tell you, see, you guys, maybe being from England, you don't hear it, but there is a sound of someone who's done speed, especially for a woman, that has that sort of, it's a white trash kind of haggard.
Desert rat, I think it was desert. You know.
It's people, it looks like...
The Jerry Springer voice. You know?
Yeah.
It is kind of.
But the white version, the black version of that is 300 pounds and drinking way too much, wine coolers or malt liquor or something. But this is the white version. It's a chick who's skinny and less attractive than an overweight woman, which is hard to do, but they've managed to pull it off. You're praying for a fat ass at that point.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I guess down in Orange County, we don't get any of that stuff, so we...
Yeah, you do. You don't see it. They don't hang around rock stars.
All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Def Leppard in here tonight. We'll be right back after this. Everybody, Phil Collin and Joe Elliott. I got it. Joe Elliott, everyone, from Def Leppard here tonight. 1-800-LOVE-191. 10 is the name of the CD. Out on the 30th. What the hell are we in now? 22nd, 23rd?
22nd.
About a week or so. And Def Leppard is coming out for 10. So look for that, and that'll be everywhere. All right. And maybe, can you get it any sooner if you get on the internet or anything?
No, it's all over.
So.
It's probably all over illegally by now, like everything else.
Yeah. I'm amazed that, they talk about all the Napster stuff and they talk about all the internet stuff and how that's going to steal all the sales and revenues. And then you look back on the statistics of how much money, I don't know, Britney Spears pulled in last year, record sales, or the Backstreet Boys or something like this, and you realize, people are still buying CDs.
Yeah, they are, but they're saying, I still think it's eating into it a little bit. You can say it's greed, but either way.
It seems like it mathematically has to eat into it, but if you looked at a chart for record revenues, I would say last year was a pretty good year.
But a Britney album, I think it's the people who buy that or would have to have it. They'd have to own it.
Right.
Rather than download, they'd need
the
artwork.
The photos.
Absolutely. Mm. They'd want the whole deal. I think that's the difference with some of them. Backstreet Boys, same deal.
Right. I'm trying to think of...
You have to make your artwork interesting. It's the only way you can get people to download it and then go out and buy it.
That's interesting. I never thought about that. I wonder why you don't run a record company.
Yeah, really.
The White Album.
I don't know if that would work today.
Not anymore.
All right. All right, let's get back the phone. Speak to Ashley, who's 14. Ashley?
Yeah?
What's up?
I was wondering, okay, my boyfriend, he's in Colorado, and I'm in California.
Mm-hmm.
And my best friend who lives in Colorado said that he's been cheating on me. And I wanted to know, like, if there's any way when I go to Colorado next week, if, like, there's a way I can find out that he's cheating on me without him knowing.
I understand. He has been your boyfriend for how long?
2 months.
Why is he in Colorado?
Right.
Because he lives there.
How long were you guys actually face-to-face?
For a month.
And what were you doing that he was in proximity to you? Did you go visit him, or was he visiting you?
I lived in Colorado, and then I just moved last month.
Why did you move?
Because my parents wanted to move to California.
And are you planning to go back to Colorado?
Next week, yeah.
But, I mean, are you planning to move
Not
back to Colorado?
Maybe, like, in a year or two when my dad's out of the Army.
Unfortunately, Ashley, relationships at your age. How old is your boyfriend?
14.
Oh.
When a relationship your age, when people move apart, it is completely normal and to be expected for them to kind of go on and be.
Listen, at 14, if you get out of moped range, it's over.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess a tank of gas on a moped, you probably get 40 miles, maybe. That's about it.
Okay.
All right, baby. All right, look, I don't want to break your heart, but realistically, you're going into high school next year?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not going to work. No, you being in high school, having a boyfriend, and
by the time you're 21, you won't even remember him.
That's true. That is the thing you've got to keep reminding yourself.
Oh, not even 21.
I say that from experience, dear, honestly.
Yeah. 16. It'll be 16 when she's able to say that.
How does your friend know he's cheating?
Because she's his best friend.
She's his best friend?
Well, like his best friend's girlfriend.
Why don't you call him and ask him if he wants to break up?
Okay.
And you get a sense of where he's at.
Okay.
And realize that, again, it's actually healthy for these relationships not to go on eternally. Right? At 14, it's more of a
learning curve.
A process. And I know it feels like an eternal commitment that will never be undone, but it isn't.
It never works. It's like a job. You should have a whole string of jobs from age 14 to age 20-something that you learn a little something from. Realize that's not what you want and move on. Look at anyone who's had the same job since they were 15.
Yeah, me.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah. Oh. I meant more like the bloke at the butcher shop, you know. See the way I work bloke in there organically?
Nice one. That's good, actually.
Yeah, some Joe Bloggs from the butcher. Joe Bloggs.
He's getting better at this.
So, Drew, you know, we haven't talked about this in a while, but you know, Joe Bloggs.
John Doe.
John Doe. Yeah, which
so
I
really Jim, like.
I like.
So that's kind of bilingual, trilingual, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have, and by the way, you know, we have John Doe, you guys have Joe Bloggs. I think we ought to just agree on which it's going to be and
make
both
a standard.
It.
Yeah, standard. I agree.
Make it like the Euro dollar. I don't want to go to England and get confused with a Joe Bloggs case. I don't want you guys to wonder who John Doe is.
I just have to go for John Bloggs.
Or Joe Doe, I'd say.
Joe Doe.
Joe Doe sounds like a pill, though, doesn't it?
That's good, though. It's everyone to remember
overdosing
that.
On Joe Doe's.
Joe Doe.
What is the female Joe Bloggs?
There isn't one.
Jane Bloggs, I guess.
Jane Bloggs.
I guess it would be, yeah.
When anybody talks about strangers, they just always say it in the male sense. You know?
See, that's why I like that angle. They don't even have a miss.
See, you guys don't have Cockney rhyming slang. You
don't miss potato
story.
Head.
That's pretty chauvinistic, though, isn't it?
Not having a female Joe Bloggs.
It's kind of a bit. It's a bit.
Well, I guess you say it like this. Joe Bloggs' bitch is missing. I think that's how you would describe
it's
it.
It's like, yeah, but ships. Ships are always women.
That's true. They do get that.
I name this, you know, this ship, blah, blah, blah. It's always.
Do you want to be a ship?
It's always her. No, I don't want to be a ship.
Ships actually only come in one sex. You got to pick one.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? Humans actually come in two.
Oh, that's interesting, but it's true. Yeah, the ships and airplanes are she's.
Yeah.
All right. I'm saying women are even.
Where are we going with this?
I don't know. They live longer. They're fine. Heather?
Hi.
You're 20?
Yep.
Yeah, you'd be Heather Bloggs in England. What's up?
Well, I just wanted to say that Adam and Drew, I love the show.
Great.
And I have a question for Def Leppard.
Okay.
Okay, we're listening.
Yeah, hi.
How you doing?
All right, I'm doing really good.
Good.
All right. I wanted to know how you guys like the outcome of the movie VH1 did on you guys.
It was okay. You know, I mean, it was, you know, it's a TV hour, so it's like 50 minutes, and they had to cram so much stuff in there. So they kind of got it right. I think they over-exaggerated their characters a little bit.
Oh, right. They did a movie.
It was a little longer than that. It was actually nearly 90 minutes.
Was it really?
You guys got a behind the music and a movie, right?
Yeah, and the documentary for Paramania and Storytellers.
Wow. I forgot about that movie.
VH1 have been really good to us the last 4 years.
Yeah, been great.
But the film covered the band from 77 to 86.
Right.
And basically every 9 minutes in the film was a year.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of cramming, you know, and it is a film. It's based on facts, but it's actually kind of semi-fictional. It's not a documentary.
Right.
Yeah.
And as I've been saying all the time about this, you take 4 astronauts and stick them in a cinema next to 4 civilians watching Apollo 13, and the astronauts will be going, wrong.
Right.
And civilians will be like going, I don't know, and I don't care that switch will be red when it's blue and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
We see things that really aren't relevant to anybody else.
Now, this is like when Drew sees, you know, these medical shows.
Can't watch them.
Really?
I'm like that with rock films. Yeah. I hate it when I see a rock band and they're not plugged in. Right. There's no lead in their guitars. Right.
Yes. On that wave, anything that depicts napping and masturbation, I'm like, fake, fake. Hold on, I got to beat off. Fake, fake, I got to nap. Then I wake up, fake, not true. Most guys sleep on their side and they beat off on their back.
There must be some TV medical shows, though, that you go, this is actually really cool. They've got the right people in, like ER or something.
Is that really crass and wrong?
There's always somebody that gets one thing wrong. They hook you in
for half an hour and then they blow it.
Right, and there's something that's so glaring that I obsess about it. I can't get past it.
That's how I am.
You see, my favorite TV show is Law & Order. I love Law & Order. And I always think that it's based on, you know, I've watched it with a girl that was our accountant on the last tour, used to do law, and she says it's pretty accurate, but I'm sure that there's some lawyer out there going, this is bullshit.
They get a lot of consultants, like technical consultants and stuff now, and they're probably better than they were in the Perry Mason days.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Sure.
Yeah, that wheelchair was never real.
Yeah.
But, wait a minute, is that Ironside?
Same guy, right? Show like Scrubs comes about as close.
Raymond Burr.
Really? Well, let me ask, though, on something like Behind the Music, was that a 2-hour Behind the Music?
No, it's just a 1-hour. It just seemed like 2 hours.
I mean, it covered a lot of time.
It did, yeah.
Now, when you're looking at something like that, I mean, in a way, you got to be flattered that they did it. And
absolutely.
I'm glad that they did it because they sort of... They took all the stuff that you would have never assembled and made a little, put it in a time glass for you.
Oh, are you kidding? It's great.
You could watch that tape at any time, at any point in your life, however many years from now, and have a pretty good idea of what happened and what order they happened in.
When we get senile and forgetful, we can watch it and remind ourselves who we are.
Do you see stuff you don't like on something like that? I mean, do they get stuff wrong?
Not really. I mean, it's pretty much along that. I thought that they missed out a lot of juicy stuff that I thought they were going to do. It was definitely family orientated. It was like,
right.
It wasn't, I thought it was going to be a bit more rock and roll, but I guess it's, you know, they can't really do that. They can't get realistic with it, but it was all the facts were there. It was kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's from the horse's mouth. I mean, all the interviews is from the band, and unless we're lying, you're hearing exactly the truth, you know.
I tell you, I can't get enough of that stuff. Right. Well, I'll watch those shows about someone I'm uninterested in completely. And be fascinated. Oh, yeah. I'm at home watching Liza Minnelli last night. I don't even like Liza Minnelli.
But it's reality TV, isn't it?
It's the only TV you and I have ever watched together, and it was Mamas and the Papas.
The best one. One of the best I ever saw was The Partridge Family. I thought it was fantastic, you know?
They're all, that's like, they're all good. I'm glad. I'm glad they're doing that kind of TV. Kara?
Yes.
You're 27?
Yes.
What's up?
Hi. First off, I love Def Leppard. Oh, my God. I can't even believe it. I have named my children after you guys.
Wow. What is it about Sacramento? Everybody from Sacramento is a huge fan of you guys.
You guys need to come to Sacramento again.
I hope you named your kids after us, not the albums.
No, I named them after... I named... My first one is Joseph Allen.
Wow.
And my second one is Stephen Collins.
Adam, we got to get Child Protective Services up to Sacramento.
Hey. No, I'm an excellent mother. I just... happen to love Def Leppard a lot too.
That's great.
Right.
My question is, what was the inspiration behind Torn to Shreds? Yes, I've heard it. I downloaded it.
Oh.
I will buy.
It's a song about regret. It's about actually getting it all wrong with a relationship and then going, oh, Jesus, I've just made a hideous mistake, and you just feel like you've been torn to shreds, basically, in a nutshell.
That song hit home big time.
Really?
This is going to be an awesome album. I wish you guys the best of luck.
Thank you. Well, that's what we try to do with the lyrics, you know. We've had a lot of comments on the new album regarding the lyrical direction of this, and it's the love album, you know, and it's not, actually. It's love and hate. It's every human emotion. And, again, using the phrase in a nutshell, what we tried to do with the lyrics on this record was just stick our hands in people's chests, tear their heart out, stamp on it.
That's what Drew does, but literally, during the day, that's what he does.
Yeah, but he uses, like, knives and, you know, he sews them back up again, you know.
Yeah, but oftentimes without putting the heart
we
back.
We just always want people to hear, and if there's two people in a room listening to the record, that they can, whether it be father and son, you know, two sibling rivalry, two brothers, two sisters, you know, whatever, boyfriend, girlfriend, man, wife, they look at each other and they go, they're talking about us.
Right.
That's what we try and do.
Could even be about man love.
Yes, it could be about man love.
Who knew? Think about that. Hey, Drew.
Yeah.
I hung up on line one by mistake because I pressed a button and screwed it up. What are you thinking about, Drew? You're picking calls, right, buddy?
I'm waiting to see what comes up on these two.
Ah, I see. How's your patient doing? Everything all right? No? More trouble? It's
full moon extraordinaire.
Really?
Starting with the cat, the bobcat last night. And
everyone's going nuts.
Yeah, all day.
It's full moon.
All day.
Yeah.
All day. Unbelievable.
You ever notice Marilyn Monroe in the moon when it's full? See? This is all
yours. Yeah.
You can look next to it. When you get out in your car tonight, just look at it and stare at it. Marilyn Monroe with a shocked expression looking over her shoulder.
Really?
Yeah, like this. Absolutely.
Yeah, it looks
over
like
her left shoulder.
Yeah.
As though she's just been, like, starved.
Over her left shoulder?
Yeah.
Right. It's unbelievable.
So I see Jackie Gleason normally when I look into the moon. You know the beginning of the honeymoon?
Sure. No.
All right. Denise?
Yes.
I'm sure all our 14-year-old listeners are identifying with. Hey, go ahead, Denise.
Hi, guys.
24. What's up?
Well, okay. I'm going to be 25 soon, and I started drinking, like, you know, just socially when I was probably about 19 or 20.
Uh-huh.
And I used to be able to drink maybe 4 beers, you know, and I'd feel it, and I'd be fine the next day. And over time, it's gotten to the point where now I go out, and if I have 1 beer, I am sick the next day, all day.
By sick, you mean vomiting sick?
Yeah.
Do you take any medication?
No. I'm on birth control.
What do you want?
Aleve.
Okay.
Yeah.
It could have something to do with this. Do you black out ever when you drink?
No.
All right.
Jeez,
well,
that's a cheap date.
You know what? One thing.
Baby, here's a half a beer.
Have you lost some weight recently?
No.
Okay. Uh-uh. Well, the one thing I would worry about, the two things I would be concerned with these kinds of symptoms. One is whether or not this is a gallbladder problem, like gallstones, or even pancreatitis, that somehow the alcohol is exacerbated.
Oh, I've actually had that.
You've had pancreatitis.
Ooh, true, everybody. Yeah.
Pretty good, huh?
Yeah, so that's what this is. Where'd you get? Now, pancreatitis you can get from the birth control pill.
I actually, when I had that, right before it, I had orthopedic surgery.
Yeah.
And I was on Vicodin, and they felt that, they really were kind of confused about it, but they felt that maybe it was the Vicodin.
Well, just know the birth control pill can do that, and maybe you had a little low-grade pancreatitis, then you had the alcohol, and that really stirs it up. So
even though that's okay now.
You may still be having some trouble. You ought to talk to a gastroenterologist about this.
Really?
Yep.
Drew, I'd like to get that pancreatitis thing so I could catch a buzz off of 1 beer.
No, not the buzz, you barfs.
Yeah, but before you barf, you catch the buzz,
no,
right?
No, it doesn't make you buzz.
I think she catches the buzz.
No.
Denise?
Yeah?
Do you catch the buzz?
Not at all.
You just feel crappy the next day, huh?
Just can't. 1 beer, no buzz, that's it?
No, not at all.
You better stop drinking for a while.
I'd say so.
Yeah, it's not even worth it now.
See a gastroenterologist. This is something maybe...
Save yourself 79 cents a day.
You could have a stone down there in your common bile duct or God knows what.
Well, what should we get her on? Quaaludes or something?
Yeah,
she's got to fill the void.
There you go.
All right, Denise?
Okay, thank you.
All right, good time, sir.
Okay, bye.
Oh, man. I haven't thrown up because of booze in some months now, Drew. You'd be glad to know.
We used to make a habit of it in our teenage years. It was on a Friday night. If you didn't barf down somebody's fridge door, you know, you weren't a man.
One of my greatest maneuvers was taking out two of my friend's sweaters. He had two sweaters. He had like a red one and a blue one. He was wearing the blue one, and he lent me the red one, and I barfed on him, and then I barfed on me, taking out two sweaters.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's
it's
good.
Pretty
yeah,
good.
Good job. Good. Hey, trying to get some calls on male sexual dysfunction. I haven't seen one come by yet, so guys, give us one of those.
I threw up an ice maker in Tijuana. That's another big story of mine. Yeah. That's something I just checked off the list. You know, I started thinking about
it. You peed into an ice maker.
Peed into an ice maker.
And
threw
vomit.
Up into an ice maker. I've been thrown off a driving range at a golf course.
For what? For barfing?
Shanking too many into the tennis court.
Come on.
Yeah, absolutely. Scott is my witness. I've been thrown off a go-kart track. I've been thrown out of a batting cage. And I got a couple other...
You can throw out of a batting cage.
It's not easy. You gotta work it. You gotta not. You know. I didn't wear the helmet. I kept not wearing the helmet. But here's the thing. I've decided. You guys should set. You probably have your own goals. For me, I've done. I've accomplished many of them with the driving range, a batting cage, and the Tijuana ice maker. But there's a few other ones. Like I would like to have my hands registered somewhere. You know what I mean?
As a
like
weapon.
Yeah, as a weapon. I don't know how I could do that. I'd probably have to know somebody. I'd have to do it in a smaller town. But I don't know if there's a test. But to say that my hands were registered as a lethal weapon somewhere would be good. I would like to be thrown out of a casino for counting cards, cheating or winning, or doing something,
winning
you know, escorted.
Much.
Yeah, and I would tell everybody, oh, I can't go back into that casino.
Well, that's pretty cool. That'd be a cool...
That would be a feather
big
in your
time,
cap, right?
Big time, yeah.
Yeah. I drove off a tow truck before my car got towed about a year and a half.
That's just silly, though. That's just no feather for that one.
That was a
good story.
That was smooth.
Yeah.
Outrunning a cop would be nice, too. I know it sounds a little...
Every Friday night.
Look, you at Culver City here, you do that every... Yeah, well,
yeah I've seen it on TV.
No. Go out driving here tonight and watch what happens.
Really? Don't get those guys in trouble, please. I'm just saying, wouldn't it be great to have your hands registered as a deadly weapon somewhere?
He does.
And what... Are your hands registered?
Oh, yeah.
No. And thrown out of a casino for winning or card counting.
No, I haven't done that.
Joe?
Yeah. Hi, guys.
14, Joe the caller.
Oh, yeah.
What's up?
Well, Def Leppard, first of all, I love you guys. You've been a huge inspiration for me.
Thank you.
Thanks.
But anyway, 14. I got a question about masturbation. I've been masturbating for like probably 3 years now, and over the past few months, it's been harder and harder to actually get an orgasm. And when I do, there's not as much coming out there, and I'm wondering.
Have you kind of stepped up your frequency?
No, not really. It's pretty much consistent.
Which is how often?
Like once a day to once every 2 days.
Any medication?
Nope.
Nothing, huh?
Started at 11, huh?
Started early. Any eating normally, sleeping normally, that sort of thing?
Yeah.
No medication? No drugs, alcohol?
No, not really.
All right,
and so it's you're having difficulty finishing?
No.
Or nothing coming out?
Less.
Yeah, I after like a long time, as much as like, you know, half an hour to...
Wow. How about leaving it for a week?
Well, that's what I was thinking, but that still doesn't explain
maybe
the
maybe you need a new hustler because you're fed up of seeing the same photos.
It could be just getting boring, huh? I'd leave it for a week.
Maybe he's ready for a relationship?
Maybe sit on your other hand for 15 minutes.
Let it fall asleep.
Let it fall asleep, and then it'll feel like somebody else is doing it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You guys are diabolical.
Well, I've been in a relationship. I mean, I got a hand job from a girl like a month ago, and nothing. I mean...
Leave it for a while. Actually, don't even touch it. Don't even be tempted.
Yeah, let your biology sort of build up a little bit, but that still doesn't explain why he...
What?
Slumped like this. But men have rhythms.
I don't know. He's going through a little slump, that's all.
Yeah.
He's going through a drought.
He should get one of those, you know, those dog collars they put around, those lampshades so the dog can't get to its ass?
Put around the penis?
Just around the waist.
Yeah.
You can't go in through the top.
Looks like a tutu.
It looks like... But
you'd have to wear it upside down, sure.
A lampshade.
You'd have to wear it kind of flaring downwards.
Yeah, yeah. You'd look like Judy Jetson's skirt.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and it'd be good because you could urinate...
I was gonna
and
say,
you could sit on
could
the toilet with it, but you just couldn't get your hand around it or under the bottom.
But then you couldn't scratch your balls either, because, you know, that's what it stopped to stop dogs scratching.
A guy would
I use a coat hanger that's bent.
Right. Well, that's what I'd do, but I mean,
then
you'd
put a little ring around the end and give yourself...
then you'd be tempted again.
Guys would be rubbing up against stuff. Come on.
I would have it work by the same people that put that Denver boot on your car. You know what I mean? That it would be, they put a lock on it, and it would be like stamped. There'd be a seal on it. You couldn't break. You couldn't tamper with.
So it's a chastity belt,
essentially for teenage boys.
I think it's a really good idea, and I think you should patent it now.
We break it off on your. We have a big party on your 18th birthday when we snap the ribbon, and you go beat off 17 times in front of the family. By the way, while the family's taking pictures, it's really.
This can go along with your new...
Of raising the age of the...
Yes.
Right, you're talking about of the bar mitzvah?
Bar mitzvah, I have a new bar mitzvah.
You guys have bar mitzvahs in England?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we do.
It's not like you guys do.
This could be the Gentile bar mitzvah, the non-Jewish bar mitzvah. We bust...
How about just some kind of like barbed wire thing around there that's a certain height with a kind of an electric... Current through it, mm-hmm. and then if you get a boner on, as soon as it
I
makes
thought of that, Joe. I thought of that, but then
it gives you an electric shock. So you just think like about cabbage and nuns and
we tested that. We tested that, and we lost a few of the teenagers.
Right.
Something I hoped it wasn't coming up, in any great scientific thing, there are a few casualties.
There were a couple of phalluses were sloughed off. Yes.
Yeah. Some Ouch. Sloughing of the phallus. Yeah. Yeah, plus the barbed wire got caught up in the comforter. It was very difficult to
But for an older guy, that could be exciting.
Yeah.
You know? So where do you draw the line? Yeah.
Nothing wrong with a bit of barbed wire.
Definitely not.
We're going to take ourselves a little break. Def Leppard is our guest tonight, and we'll come back. We'll hear something else off the new 10 CD after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Joe Elliott is here. Phil Collin here. Both from Def Leppard. 10 is the name of the new CD out on the 30th. So about 8 days away. And you can go out and get yourself a new Def Leppard CD. We're going to hear something off of that.
Now?
Why? You got to make a phone call?
No, I'm just curious. I was just trying to figure out when we'd play it. One.
I'll take a call.
A call and then do it. Right.
Hear something off there. All right, and let's talk to Jennifer. It's 23. Jennifer?
Hi.
What's up?
I had a question. I've had a problem for... Oh, I've been trying to get a hold of you guys for, like, the last 2 years now. But, because I was pregnant about a year ago, and I was having a problem with my boyfriend where he was kind of... He was climaxing too soon.
How long?
Well, it didn't start until, like... In the middle of my pregnancy, and I wasn't too sure if that was maybe what was causing it was the fact that I was pregnant or...
Ooh.
And then he was into that, you mean? How fast? How long are we talking about here?
I mean, like, within, like, 2 minutes.
And before that, how long was he lasting?
He would last way longer than that.
Way longer. And how are things now?
Well, see, the thing is, we had the baby, and then 4 months later, I'm pregnant again.
Oof.
But, and it's kind of starting again, but it was a problem that really didn't go away either.
And how long do you need to
hold on? Turn your radio down back there, goofball.
It is off.
Well, or the TV,
whatever's going on back
well,
there.
Well, actually, I'm at work, so I don't have a radio on around me.
Oh, there's just people talking in the background?
Yeah.
Hey, what are you doing?
I work in a hospital.
Oh, man. Hey, are you one of those mercy killers?
No.
I'm trying to bring that back, the mercy killer.
It was all over the English papers, actually.
Yeah, we used to have them out here, too, and they're gone. They went the way of the dodo, and I'm like, I miss the mercy killers. Something quaint about that guy slides in your room at night, unplugs something, puts a pillow over your head. They don't kill because they want to. They kill because they have to, Drew. That's
for their own good.
It's different, yeah.
Oh, in Canada. We were just in Canada, and there was something about that.
And maybe our mercy killers went up north. We
it
should
could
get
be
them
the
back.
Same guy, yeah. I think.
I'd like to get them back, Drew. All right, so Jennifer.
Uh-huh.
So you're doing some mercy killing, and what's the problem?
Okay, since I've been pregnant, it's like starting to be more...
The problem again. Okay. How long do you need him to last?
I don't know. I just wanted to know if that was actually normal for him.
Are you creeped out a little bit that he's
into the pregnancy
thing sexually?
Well, no. See, I've tried talking to him, and I mean, it wouldn't be a problem, but I mean, if he would at least let me know or...
Yeah, women always do this. They get caught up on... I don't care that you cheated. It's that you didn't tell me and that you lied, and that's what... They get into that part of it, which is sort of ridiculous to me. Really? Is it really just the fact that he's not...
If they didn't sense that you were going to react, they'd tell you.
Right. Well, you didn't start changing position or something just because of the pregnancy. Couldn't be something like that, could it? Like, he's coming from behind.
Well, I mean, of course, no, I mean, we did try different positions because of course, you know, I wasn't able to...
Right, sure.
Was that something you had done, though, before you were pregnant?
Yeah. I mean, that was pretty normal. I mean, it wasn't really, nothing really changed.
Anything else with him?
No flipping over, then.
Is he on medication? Is he doing drugs, alcohol, anything?
He does smoke a little bit of pot, but... I mean, it's not...
Is he a breast man? Maybe he likes the full breast with the pregnancy.
That's why I try talking to him about it, because actually I feel a little bit flattered, you know. I mean, being pregnant, and, you know, you feel so unattractive when you're pregnant.
And what does he say about this?
But see, that's the thing. He doesn't really say anything to me. I told him, I said, it's not a problem. There's nothing wrong with it, but, you know, you need
and,
to...
And yet you've come to us, and our sense was that this was not only a problem, but very disturbing to you. I mean, that's certainly how you come off, and so I imagine...
It wasn't, I mean, well, this is why I was calling us. I wanted to know if it was normal and if there was any way to help.
Understand, Jennifer, you came out with, this for 2 years I've been trying to reach you. It's coming in 2 seconds, I can't believe it. You know, he picks up on that, and he feels easily ashamed of it. Men are very sensitive about their performance. And look, if you come at him with all that energy, he's gonna have trouble being honest with you.
But really pregnant women are very feminine, and a lot of guys actually are really attracted to that as well. There's that thing.
I like it from a practical standpoint because I like to finish on the belly, and it usually puddles up. but with... You see what I'm saying? With
you get the Christmas cake effect.
Right.
Oh,
yeah, it's easy. I mean, it just rolls right. It's really water on a duck. It just should perform.
Water on a duck's
right
back.
Well, water's on a duck's
off
back.
Off a duck's back.
Off a duck's back. Just rolls right on down.
We didn't get any
right
off.
No.
I don't know. It could be the glowing thing. It could be the glowing feminine.
It could be a lot of
things
with him, but we're trying to figure her out. I can't quite get.
But I've often wondered whether a woman's actually more flattered when the guy comes too quickly, as it were, than somebody that can't
No, they don't dig it.
Well, they're like, yeah, but which is the best? Can't keep it up
it
or comes too quick?
It depends on the woman.
Too quick. So it's like, at least you're in, you know, you're getting off on it.
Some women just want the guy sort of finished and...
I don't know what they do. I think they...
What does they say in Australia? Have you slammed yet, Bruce?
<That's> right. And they do.
Joe.
They do say that.
Boggs.
Yeah. Hey, well, so listen, Jennifer's got to talk to the guy. I'm sort of with you on this. That
energy.
She's kind of freaking the guy out a little bit, coming at him, wanting answers.
And if she, you know...
He's probably a little shamed. He probably digs it a little bit.
And we didn't get into how she's able to orgasm, whether there's oral sex involved with this, that kind of thing.
Right, and 30 seconds is probably quite normal.
She got pregnant so quick again. I mean,
that's the whole other thing. Their boyfriend, girlfriend with two kids and still going at 23.
All right. Jennifer.
Uh-huh.
Why aren't you guys married yet?
I was married before. I got married very young, and it's just kind of like a little phobia for me now.
And you're a nurse? Are you a nurse?
No, I'm going to school to study to be a physician assistant, but right now I'm just working as a health information tech.
So you're just nursing?
Right.
Just a nursing.
All right, that means crazy, though, nurse, you know? They're always a little wacky. Something up with that.
The reason why I called was it's been frustrating for me, of course.
Well, not of course. There are other things you guys could be doing together, and you should be talking to him openly about this stuff. But again, there's a lot going on here, Jennifer.
She got married at this
married
18
previously.
It's a little weird about
trauma
it.
Trauma history,
maybe
angry
trauma.
And resentful.
We don't know trauma history,
abandonment,
Jennifer.
Abandonment. Definitely abandonment.
Where's Dad?
I mean,
my dad.
Yeah.
He passed away when I was 14.
There you go.
What happened?
He was killed in a car accident.
Okay. All right. Sorry to hear that.
But that's, I was picking up heavy duty abandonment.
Okay,
stuff.
So listen, Jennifer's taken whatever her energy is, and you tell me, you talk to me about, you tell, you got a 23-year-old chick who has her second kid on the way and says, marriage is a weird topic for me, I don't want to talk about it. I'm going to show you someone who's got some issues.
Yeah, abandonment for her.
Okay, so don't take all that energy and dump it into his penis.
Right.
And guys are like, we feel this and we just want to get out of there. That's what happens.
There you go.
I will get in and get out.
I will actually wring my testicles.
There you go.
I think that's the answer.
Like, right,
squeeze
them
like a bar rag.
Oh, ring them with
out.
A W, not ring them as in, like, pick the phone up and talk to them.
Yeah, hello? Hello, Mr. Testicles? Yeah.
What was the testicle joke?
Hurry it up, gents.
Oh, yeah, I've got a great joke for this.
Cheers, mate.
Okay.
Give me a good testicle, Joe.
Okay, guy goes to the doctor and he says, listen, I've been having a quick feel down there and I've got, like, I think I've got three.
Right.
And the doctor says, well, so? He says, but that makes me weird. It's nice. It's nothing wrong with it. In fact, it's good you got three. No big deal. You should celebrate the fact you got three. So the guy gets out on the pavement, decides, I'm going to take a taxi home. I'm not going to catch the bus. I'm going to take the taxi home. So he gets in the taxi and he sat there, a big old smug expression on his face. And he leans forward and opens a glass in the cab. And he says to the driver, he says, do you realize that between the two of us, we've got five balls? And the taxi driver turns around and says, why, you only got one?
I like that.
That's cute.
I've never even heard that one before. Bob, cheers.
Cheers, mate.
Right.
Here we go.
All right, let's...
That's my comedy career killed live on air, folks.
Let's hear some music.
Let's hear something from Def Leppard off the new CD out on the 30th, 10, and this one's called Four Letter Word. Def Leppard, everybody. That song had a little of the old Def Leppard sound to it mixed in with some of the new, right?
Yeah, that was...
Some of the classic Def Leppard.
It was a throwback.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds good.
Thank you.
Yeah, really sounded good. We got to take a break.
Yes, we do.
All right. When we come back, Jim had a vasectomy. Now he's not feeling right in the... Nutsack area.
Nice.
Yeah. Let me talk to Jim real fast. Jim?
Yeah.
When did you have the vasectomy?
Last September.
All right. So it's been long enough. Right. Back to normal.
Mm.
Yeah, it should be. I have no feeling in the right testicle, and my sex drive isn't what it used to be.
Hmm. Interesting.
No feeling in the testicle. Not such a big about it.
Yeah.
Girlfriend kicks you in the nuts?
No, there's that. Unless she kicks the other side.
Yeah.
I think though
I would always stand with the bad nut facing.
I was thinking of the soccer ball. I was thinking of the soccer
again,
ball.
Again, though, I suspect he's talking about the scrotum and not the testicle.
I see. Yeah.
No feeling in the
scrotum.
But
during the penalty kick, while all the other guys were standing there with their hands over their groin,
he looked up.
You'd just be standing. You'd be holding your hands.
Well, he'd have one over one side.
I guess you had two fingers.
Yeah,
two fingers. Def Leppard here tonight. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Joe Bill both here from Def Leppard. 10's the name of the new CD out on the 30th. And let's see if we can power through a few more calls before we got a call tonight. Jim?
Yeah.
27 with the vasectomy.
Yeah.
So one of your nuts hurt?
No, I don't feel it at all.
Feeling.
In the skin, though, right? In the scrotum?
No, in the testicle. I could squeeze that thing and it doesn't hurt.
Wow.
Yeah.
You don't even get a pain up in your abdomen?
No. Nothing.
That's interesting.
I had a really bad blood clot. I was walking hunched over for over 2 months. It was really bad.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder if that test is kind of shut down.
I don't know. I don't have the sex drive that I had before either.
Theoretically, the other testes should take over, but sometimes not. Sometimes
that's the deal my testes have.
One covers for the other?
Yeah, you go down, I'll step it up.
But, you know, I think if I had a problem like that, I think my sex drive would go down anyway, just even thinking about it.
Sort of an aversive conditioning.
Absolutely.
Phenomenon. Have you talked to the urologist that did the vasectomy?
No, I went back to him, and he removed the blood clot, but it swelled up worse than it was before.
Yeah.
And, the incision that he made to release the blood clot opened up, and he just said I had to let it seep out.
Right.
And pat gauze in it, and I stopped going back after that.
All right. Well, it's time to see a urologist, Jim. Those are fairly serious and very unusual complications from a mastectomy.
Sounds like he needs to see a different one, though.
A different one's fine. I understand your sort of confidence has been shaken, but to go this alone and wonder what's going on, and indeed, low testosterone levels in somebody your age can be meaningful. It's something that can cause softening of the bones. It can affect your mood. Can it certainly affect, obviously,
your sex drive. Why does he have low testosterone? Because he doesn't have sex drive?
I'm just theorizing.
Yeah, my wife's not happy about it.
Yeah, well, get this checked out. Or maybe there's something with the erectile function from whatever went on with the infection and the blood clot. So, definitely this is something to be checked at. And there are treatments for this now. God, we live in the age of Viagra when there's things that can be done if it's really just a blood supply issue for erectile functioning.
Are you having erectile difficulty?
No, I can do that just fine.
So glad you waxed on about
minutes? I did that just for the sake of the listener. I don't want to get into this with him particularly. But the fact is, it's a drive issue with you, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay, and that could be testosterone, so we got to have that checked out.
And I can get Adam kicked out of a casino.
Oh, how? How do I do that?
I work in surveillance at a casino up here in Washington, so anytime you come in, I'll get you kicked out.
Oh, that's cool. But make sure you get it on camera.
Is it on Indian reservation there?
No, we just have a mini casino.
Yeah, but here's what I'm looking for, Jim.
You want a big casino?
I'm not talking about taking a leak into the change slot of a slot machine and getting kicked out for that. Or overdoing it.
They'll tell you whatever you want to
hear. Okay, that's my thing. So I don't want to get tossed out for
sex on the blackjack table. That's what you want.
Yeah.
You're in an Ocean's 11 type deal, right?
Yeah, right. I don't want it because, hey, this guy took cuts in the line at the buffet. He's out of here. Not that thing. I've been winning too much. I've outsmarted the house. I got the guy, you know, Mr. Corolla, could you come in? Hey, what's the problem? You know, I'm wearing a white jacket, you know, that kind of thing. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for it being wrestled down to the ground because
I'm not looking for much, are you? Mr. Bond.
Yeah, I'm looking for a James Bond kind of. He always won when that guy gambled. You know, so he'd always sit there and he had the feeling. He looked to me like he read the script a few pages ahead, knew he was going to win because he wasn't very conservative with his gambling at all. Jared?
Yes?
You're 15?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike, I have a couple questions for Def Leppard.
Yeah. Here they are.
Yeah, I've been a real fan. My brother got me into you guys, and that was like 10 years ago.
Wow.
And I was wondering where you came up with your name.
Okay, here we go. I threatened I'd never answer this question again. I've been doing it for 20-odd years. It's on the website. But in a nutshell, or a nutsack even, I was at school 1975 in art class, and I didn't like drawing bowls of fruit and bars of flowers in them.
Right.
So I started doing rock posters. And after about 6 weeks, I got fed up with using Led Zeppelin and Thin Lizzy and, you know, Grand Funk Railroad or whoever. And I started making the names of bands up. And Def Leppard was just one that sounded good. It looked ridiculous. And our old drummer, a guy called Tony Kenning, was the one that took the A out of the Def and put a stick down the O in the Leopard. And we ended up with the misspelt name.
Was that in the Behind the Music or somewhere? I think I've heard it or seen it somewhere, but I couldn't remember.
All due respect, it's one question that I never, ever want to answer again.
Good. Well, we got rid of him. Yeah, I know, because I mean, that's the tough part, really, about this whole gig. Not that I ever ask any questions that don't involve myself, really, on this show, but you get the same questions over and over and over again. I always hate to ask them, but then on the other hand, people want to know.
In fairness, he's 15. He doesn't know that I've... It's like me talking to Pete Townsend about my generation. You know, he doesn't want to talk about that either, but I do. I want to hear what he knows, you know, why did he write it? And he's like, he'd punch me in the mouth if I asked him, you know.
I'm like...
But anyway, he got his answer, and I was polite, so can't ask for any more than that.
I'd like to talk to him about Quadrophenia. I love that album. Nick?
Yeah?
You're 14?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I have problems, you know, like masturbating because I do it too much. Like, all the time, like four times a day.
Four times?
Four times until you orgasm?
What?
Something comes out of the penis when you're...
Yeah,
that's how you know when to stop?
Huh?
You know when to stop when something comes out, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But it's not white. It's like a clear stuff.
Clear stuff?
Yeah, like a...
That's your soul, right, Drew? Your soul's clear,
right?
Are
you having an orgasm?
Yeah.
Drew doesn't buy it? Why? He's 14. He sounds like he's 12.
Hmm.
Nick?
What?
Bogus call, perhaps?
What do you mean?
Maybe you're making this up?
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right. The clear, it suggests you may be doing this compulsively too frequently, or maybe his biology hasn't caught up really with what he's doing to himself here.
How about you cut it way back to like 21 times a week?
Mm.
He's doing the math right now.
Let's see.
Can I survive that?
Now, see, here's the beauty of 21 times a week. As I put myself on this masturbatorial diet in high school, it's not necessarily three times a day. I would do it two times a day during the week and then hit it, you
on
know,
weekend,
maybe five, six times on Friday and Saturday. You see,
as long as
the math works, or even save up until Saturday and knock 21 out before midnight. On Sunday night.
My concern is that you could be sexually compulsive. If you're doing something that's really not biologically driven and to the point that you're sort of exhausting your own system, were you sexually abused when you were growing up?
No.
No. He's fine. Listen, give it a
raging hormones by the sounds of it.
All right.
And it's...
You need a Nintendo.
And it's what, Nick?
Or maybe we should buy him a guitar or something.
What, Nick?
I have a guitar.
That's what Donnie.
I get, like, a bunch of porno and stuff from my friends and stuff, and I just want to know if that's normal at my age right now. I get a lot of it.
I think it's a compulsive quality. To all
really,
this.
I think it's a bogus quality. Yeah,
there
though,
is that there for
it.
Sure, too. But.
So what? You got 14-year-old buddies giving you porno magazines, right?
Yeah. A lot of it, though.
So what, they just drop off truckloads of porno every day, of metric tons of porno being dropped off?
How do you hide it from your parents?
What?
How do you hide it from your parents?
Like, I just had it everywhere.
Under
my bed.
All right. Nick, here's I'm going to one of two scenarios here. Either you're making this up, or you just really have no question. Do you know what I'm saying?
I just want to know if that's normal.
It's not normal for your friends to drop off porn. I would fight my friends for porn when I was 14. I would trade porn with my friends. Actually, as an adult, I was in my 20s. I was showing the brown bag.
Still don't part with porn.
No, but you know it's tough when you're trading porn and this guy tries to work in one of those 50 ineffable ones, like you see some chicken or, you know, 65 years old doing it. No. This does not count. Do you understand? This is not a tradable porn.
Gummy bear.
Right.
That was one. Remember that
right.
one? Yeah.
What grandpa used to wank to.
All right, there we go.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back. That's it, everybody. Def Leppard. I want to thank Joe and Phil for coming in here. Completely enjoyable, by the way.
Thank you.
No, it was good fun.
It was a blast.
Delightful.
For us.
We
don't get the chance to talk about wanking very often.
Well, not in public. We think anyway. About it a lot, but we don't talk.
You can join Adam here any night.
You
and talk
come
about
come
wanking.
Back anytime you guys like. You're always welcome.
Thank
and
you.
I would encourage everybody who's within the sound of my voice to go grab 10 the new CD when it comes out on the 30th. Okay. Best of luck to you, Dylan.
Cheers. Thank you.
So until next time, this is Adam Kroller for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.